Good morning. Once again, welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel of John. John chapter 4 and verse 24 is our scripture text this morning. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We begin with our context in verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you are neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So Jesus is having a conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well. And in the course of the conversation, she asks him whether the proper place of worship is at Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritans worshipped, or Jerusalem, where the Jews worshipped. Now Jesus graciously answers her question that Jerusalem is the correct place. But then he steers the conversation to the greater matter, the state of the heart, which is required for worship, pleasing to God. The woman confesses her belief in the coming Messiah, and Jesus reveals plainly that he is the Messiah, that is, the Christ. The Messiah is simply the Hebrew word, and the Christ is the Greek word, which mean the anointed one. This morning, we shall begin by answering the question which arises from our text: what is worship? And then we shall look at the manner of worship required. We have two requirements. First, that it must be in spirit. Secondly, that it must be in truth. Thompson defines worship as an act of honor, praise, and reverence of deity. This is the Christian definition of worship. Worship of the true and living God is required of us. Therefore, let us give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Now, in the contemporary church, we have worship leaders, we have worship time, and so forth. Worship this, worship that. And these things are usually understood to mean those things associated with worship through music, in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, in the context of church services or gatherings. Now, singing praises is wonderful. Singing praises musically is wonderful. It's even required, commanded in the scriptures. And it's a great blessing when we're able to do that as a congregation, and when God raises up people with gifts like this to be able to share with God's people. However, in calling this simply the worship time or the worship part of the service, we imply that other parts of the service are not worship. Other things that we do, other services that we may offer unto the Lord are not worship. This, I'm quite sure, is not intentional. Nobody intends to convey that kind of a message. But suffice it to say that this old fool standing before you is careful with such terms, preferring worship in song, which implies that the rest of what we do is worship after another manner. We have a worship leader, and gratefully he's in attendance today. He has 2,000 years of experience, impeccable qualifications. We checked his references. Jesus Christ says of our divine worship leader that he will guide you into all truth. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will glorify me. So we're called to worship in spirit or according to the leading of God the Holy Spirit, and in truth, according to the truth which God the Holy Spirit leads us to. He is the worship leader of the church in all areas. Now let us consider other aspects of worship. Publicly, there is the preaching of and the careful attention and listening to the Word of God. Is that not an act of worship? Water baptism, partaking of the communion table in a corporate setting, but also individually, bearing our hearts before our God at that special time which we celebrate each week. That too is a beautiful time of worship. Public prayer, the presentation of the gospel in each and all of its forms. Anytime we go out into the world, even if it's not an appointed church time or an appointed church meeting or event, anytime we go out into the world and we share the blessed hope that God has placed in our hearts, we're worshiping God. We're revering Him. We're revering who He is by confessing Him before men. Have you come here with this heart, with the heart of worship? I hope that you have, and I hope that you leave here with the heart of worship. May the words of your heart be, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. And let those praises spill over outside these church walls. Now, our hearts can hardly be ready for public worship if they have not first been prepared privately. In other words, we cannot please God with our public worship if we have not first set it as a priority to please God with our private worship. Your prayers in your bedroom, maybe in your car as you drove in today, your time set aside for private Bible reading and study and meditation, your time spent helping a brother, a sister, or a family member. When they're done, in Jesus' name, even if it's something so seemingly insignificant as giving a little child a cup of water, are acts of worship that do not go unrecognized by our God. There are no small, insignificant acts of worship before God. Worship is then for the Christian a lifestyle characterized by acts of, let's get back to our definition, honor, praise, and reverence for Jesus Christ, whom you call Savior. Worship is faith evidenced by works. Those who worship God must worship in spirit. Since God is spirit, we have it in our text, and the Spirit of God indwells His people, then it follows that our worship must be in spirit. Now, as we read through the Bible, sometimes we have a tendency to divorce one chapter from the next, to say, okay, this is John chapter 3, and this is chapter 4, and this is chapter 5, without necessarily putting together the whole into one big picture. But I want to point out that it is no accident that this passage is just one chapter removed from that which we spoke of last week. The passage of the new birth, in which Jesus said that one must be born of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. A spiritual birth, and then how to exercise that spiritual birth through spiritual worship. Worship in spirit and truth. So then, worship must be done with a heart changed and informed by the Spirit of God. Those who are not true Christians, if you have not taken that step of believing in faith in Jesus Christ as your God, as your Savior, as He who took upon Himself the penalty for your sins once for all, died and rose again, then you cannot worship God. How can you worship God if you are not in spirit? If indeed the Spirit of God dwelleth not in you, in which case you shall find yourself disqualified. Do you wish to have a little more than a foxhole prayer life? Is your prayer life such that the only time you really pray to God is when you're in some sort of major trial, when you've tried all of your own other avenues? Do you wish to really know the love, the peace, and the joy which God offers each of us today? Then do this. Trust Jesus as your God and Savior. Really do it this time. You've talked about it long enough. You've played around the edges long enough. You've been waiting to become more of a disciple tomorrow. Are you waiting until you know a little more? Or you feel a little more spiritual? Why not start right now? If you're of God, then the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You can worship Him today. And there is some appointed way which He has for you to do just that. Pray before God. Find out what that is. Those who worship God must worship in truth. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him. To all who call upon Him in truth. Pilate once asked, "What is truth? What is truth?" Jesus said, "I am the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Truth, objectively speaking, is the entirety of the Holy Bible. This means that our worship not only must be in spirit, but it must be fully consistent with and fully informed by the Word of God. Any practice that cannot be found in this book, or that violates any principle in this book, any practice that is characterized by confusion or dishonor, is not of the truth. But any practice that is consistent with what God has told us, with what God has commanded us to do, is true worship. So let us glorify God in our hearts, in our minds, and in our actions. Right worship must be done the right way. And it is for worship of the true and the living God that you were created. Plain and simple. That's why we're here. And if by reason of strength we might have long life, perhaps 80 years, we have a limited amount of time to do it in. So let's make our lives count and do that for which we were put here. So we see the divine requirement. And if you will conceive that you are created, if you can agree that you are created by God, then your Creator has a claim on your life. Therefore, worship God not in word only, not with half a heart, not when it suits you, or when it fits into your agenda for your life, but worship at all times in spirit and truth. Lord God, may you continue to impress upon our hearts your love. Infuse us with the power of your Spirit who dwells within our people. Lord God, if there are any here who've just been confused with regard to their purpose, with regard to how and why they should live, Lord, that this word might bring meaning and purpose to that man, woman, or child who is truly the object of your love. Lord, may our worship be found acceptable. May it be found to be true and honorable, true to the principles in your word. And may you call this scripture and these things to our minds throughout the week, this afternoon at 4 o'clock when we're going about our business, or Tuesday at 9 in the morning, or Thursday at 7 o'clock at night. That our lives might be reflective of our profession. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.